All right, thank you for that. We are in the book of John, chapter 4, and verse number 46. We're going to read 40. Oh, I have to read that. I get to read that. Okay, Brother Pichardo, where are you at? You should be reading this. Oh, come up here, Brother Pichardo. Get your Bible. You're going to read this. Yes, sir. John chapter 4, verse 46 to 53. Before he comes, by the way, someone just texted me and said they bought 6 chairs. So we are at, was it 63? 69. We're at 469. So if the Lord leads you to buy chairs, text me. I will take that text. John chapter 4, verse 46 to 53.
John chapter 4, verses 46 through 53. Just follow along silently with me. The Bible says, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down here, my child die. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in that which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this time where we can listen to your word. I pray, Father, that you bless the message that you've given us through through Pastor Myers, in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, thank you for that. Hey, we just got 10 more chairs. Forget the message. We're raising money tonight, okay? So we're at, Brother Ryan, we're all 479. Okay, I'm going to put the phone right here. And I got that text there. So if it lights up and I stop the message, we're going to have a commercial break, okay? Here we go. John chapter number 4, as we had Brother Machado read there. You know, a lot of times when things don't work out in our life, it's because we really don't want them to, okay? Especially when it comes to what God does. I heard a story. Two men were walking down the street one day, and they passed a business, and it had a sign in the window that said, "No help wanted." And the one guy looked at his buddy and said, "You should go in and apply. You'd be perfect for that job." Now, I'm not trying to keep bringing this up, but I'm going somewhere. You know, we live in very difficult times. If you are around my age, 35 or so, you could look back at your life and you could say, we've never, ever experienced anything like this. Not even close. You've probably seen all the memes about 2020, right? It's like, hey, the thing got kind of, there was some video some guy had on there. It was an old guy trying to explain 2020. He just mumbled for about a minute. And he got, yep, that's 2020 right there. A lot of churches, I feel sorry for the church, they use the theme 2020 vision. To be honest with you, it seemed a lot more like 2020 darkness. Yeah. You know, as a pastor and I look at things, I do want to be realistic in my assessment of what's going on. I don't want to be Chicken Little, but on the other hand, I don't want to be, you know, whatever the opposite of Chicken Little would be. I do believe that Christians should be the salt and light in their community. I do believe that. I also believe that we have a responsibility to be good citizens and to vote the right kind of people in office. By the way, Seattle has no right to complain about what's going on. They voted those people. Fact of the matter, California, we don't have a right to complain. We voted for some of these people. And so there's two sides of the coin sometimes. Like, you know, as Christians, just stick to the Bible. Don't say anything about what's going on in society. I'll tell you what. Why don't you tell John the Baptist that?
Amen.
Okay? He was honest and truthful.
Amen.
Okay? But I'm saying we do need to be good citizens. We can't be fatalistic and, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Okay? But if we do all we can as citizens with the rights that we still have. However it falls, oh well, at least we've done our part. So let's not be fatalistic in that sense. I believe we have the right, the responsibility to sound alarm when we see something that's wrong in our society. And by the way, if we did that, the whole message would be about sounding the alarm.
Yep.
Now, I believe that all of this that's going on in our society in a small way, I see it all that we're supposed to be as citizens. It's our responsibility in a small way, but we also have a greater responsibility. Although I'm irritated about the direction of our country, and I'm not as irritated as much as I'm sad, and I'm not frightful. I know God's in control. I'm sad about what's going on. I'm going to flip that. Also, I'm excited about the opportunity that's going to afford us. Someone has said, the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. And we have an opportunity to shine the light.
Amen.
In our society. Let's be specific. I want to see God work through our church. I want to see as we go forward more people being saved. I want to see as we go forward more people coming to church and getting grounded in their faith and going forward for God. I want to see more people surrendering their lives to serve God full time. And it would be good if some of us considered that. And I want to see more people going out from here and doing something. I want to make an impact through our church. The question I have tonight is this. Do we really want to see God work? Because remember what I said. A lot of times things don't happen because if we're just quite honest, we don't want things to happen. Are we going to be complacent? It's easy to be complacent. Are we going to be content with what's going on in our life? Or are we going to go to the other side of the fence? Are we going to be calloused? I don't think we should be. Now, as we looked at our text, this is the second miracle of Christ in Cana of Galilee. He meets a man at the same place where he performed his first miracle. He's a nobleman, a man of some standing in his community, in a high position. He has a dying son who's about 17 miles away in Capernaum. He's facing a crisis in his life. So, smartly, he comes to the one he feels can do something about it. He has heard about Jesus Christ. And he took the time to go. By the way, 17 miles for us is nothing, but back then, it's something.
Yeah.
And so he goes the distance and finds Jesus. He asked Jesus to do something. And we saw in the story, Jesus did do something. Jesus tests him by implying that people only believe if they see a sign. That's why many come to him. But the man doesn't get upset about that or even debate Jesus about that statement. He just states the fact that his son is dying. He requests Jesus to come and help. And then Jesus tells him, go your way. Your son's going to be fine. Now this man had strong faith. For he doesn't even leave to go home. Jesus said, your son's fine. Go your way. Now it's one thing if the son was there and he sees him jump up and run around. But his son's 17 miles away. So what does the dad do? You think he would run home? Stays the night, waits the next day to go home. That's faith. He believed that Jesus actually did what he said. That'd be nice if we believe that, amen? As he starts to go home, he's met by his servants who come to tell him that his son is fine. After he kind of asks and inquires, he finds out that his son was fine at the same time of the day before when Jesus had said he would be fine. He received a miracle. By the way, not everybody received a miracle in those days. This guy did. This guy saw Jesus do something. You know why? He really wanted him to do something. If there was ever a time in the history of our country where we need to see God work, it is now. If there's ever a time in the history of the church that we need to see God do something, the time is now. And if there's ever a time we need to see God work in Christians, the time is most certainly now. But as I looked at the story, why did he get Jesus to work? Why did he see God work in his situation? And how can we get God and see God to work in our situation. Let me give you a few thoughts of that. There's no handout tonight. I'm sorry about that. But it's very simple. First of all, there has to be a desire. Verse number 46, it says, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. So what prompted him to go to Jesus in the first place? Some theological question? Some sense of curiosity as to this man he's heard about, Jesus Christ? No. His son is sick, and he wants his son to be healed, and he had a desire for that to happen, and that's what prompted him to go to Jesus in the first place. Now, let's apply that. If we really want to see God work in our community, in our country, in our church, and in our hearts, we have to desire for him to do that. You see, God does not work in our heart unless we have a desire for him to work in our heart. You know, God does not force his way upon you. God does not force his will upon you. So many of us, we're not even open to God's will. I'm talking in general here. Because we already have our things planned out. But we need to be open to what God wants, or else he will not force his way on us. We need to desire that. Let me ask you, do you really want to see our church be used by God in our community like never before? You see, we're being positioned. And I know, I'll be honest with you. As a pastor who's had a church that hasn't met together for over three months, I'm concerned. Now, the responses have been great. The number of views on a thing have been great. The responses to I don't want to have five morning services. Okay, we're not doing that. Four's plenty. But the response has really been great. But you know what? I really wonder how it's going to be when we all get back. I'm going to wonder if somebody got picked off by Satan during this time. I'm going to want, one of the things on my prayer list, I always pray for, Lord, give us momentum to go forward and do something for you. I wonder if that's going to be lost. I don't think so. But I'll just be honest, I think about that. But you know what? I thought this. Whatever happens when we get back, we're going to town. Amen. We're going to go forward. There's a community that needs Christ like never before. There's a community that needs hope like never before. Yeah. And I will have a desire for that. I hope you do too. Amen. But see, how we respond to this call, this opportunity, is going to be dependent on how we look at it. Are we annoyed because of the lawlessness that's being allowed and actually sanctioned in some of our cities by some of our politicians? I am. But I'm not going to dwell too much on that. Are we irritated because of the politicians who are godless and weak? For sure. Okay. Are we irritated because of the, and I don't watch it, I don't follow it, the daily bombardment of lies from the media? For sure. I don't have this in my notes. We can add another one. Are we upset because of the direction of our Supreme Court? The last month, they've made three horrible decisions. Lawless decisions. Anti-constitutional. Anti-word of the law. See, I'm trying to keep a good attitude. When I read this stuff, I start to lose it. But I'm going somewhere. Okay? Are we righteously indignant because of our society, media, and politicians say that evil is right and right is evil? They can't even think straight anymore. Yeah. And here's one that's really bothering. Are we annoyed because our churches are buying into all of this? Well, let's be politically correct, like all the NFL players. Okay, I'm out on the NFL. I'm out on all of them. Okay. If they think they're going to solve things by hating our country, I'm done. We're the only country, and I'm trying to have a good. This isn't even the message, but I'm irritated. You know, we're the only country in the world that teaches its citizens to hate itself. Our idiot girls soccer team, which that's not even sport. They win the whatever they won, and they're going to desecrate the flag. Not one other country there can understand that. Not one. But anyhow, so yes, the issue is we are annoyed with all of that. But as Christians, here's the good part. These are not the things that determine our actions or attitudes towards our community or society. These are things we look at, yes, because we want to be good citizens and we're trying to vote the right way and be good citizens. But let's set that to the side. Once we do all that, that's irrelevant. You know what we need to do? We need to get out there, and regardless of what anybody believes, we need to share the gospel with them. We got to desire that God does something in people's hearts. We may not be able to win this whole city. I'll just be real honest with you. But you know what we can do? We can win a bunch of them. We can go into, we can run our buses into places, and we may not change that whole neighborhood, but we can change some. We can change some. Let's not let our political convictions keep us from being proactively compassionate. But God will not work if we are not, if we do not desire him. Second of all, we need God's presence. We need the presence if we're going to see God work. Verse 47, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him. He was proactive. He said, I have a desire and I need God's presence. I need Jesus to take care of this. That's who I'm going to. You see, I'm not going to, if I'm giving my money, I'm not giving my money to some quasi community organization to get something done. I'm going to give it to the Church of Christ, not the heretical one, the real one, to see spiritual work done. If someone wants to go feed somebody, I'm all for it. All for it. But our goal is to reach them with the gospel. We need the presence of God more than ever before. See, we can sit here and whine about what's going on in our life, but the problem is, if things aren't going well in our life, it's because we're probably not as close to God as we should be. And I'm just going to be real honest with you. The average Christian is not. If truth be told, the average Christian is a churchian. We're more church than we are scripture. We're more church than we are prayer. Yes. And by the way, you can do all the things and just, you can do nothing else and just come to church. And let me just tell you something, eventually that's going to wear away. I just read this. I didn't even know this. I was reading an article the other day. And there's a man, he has a lot of commentaries. He's very popular. His name's Arthur Pink. Now, I don't personally like, I've never personally looked at his commentaries. I didn't know this. This guy goes, Arthur Pink wrote very comprehensive commentaries in the Bible, and this guy goes, but the last 20 years of his life, he decided, I'm not going to church. I'm going to spend my life just writing commentaries. And this guy said, I don't read his commentaries. The guy didn't have enough Christianity to know he's supposed to be at church. I'm not going to read what he has to say about the Bible. Okay? Now, having said that, we need to spend time with God alone. Amen. The two don't separate. And we need his presence. Yes, I know where two or three are gathered together in his name, there am I in the midst of them. What about when you wake up in the morning? Jesus wants to meet with you one-on-one. And so often as it is, we take Jesus Christ for granted like we do in our marriages, to be honest with you, right? The longer we're married, the more that we are prone to take our spouse for granted. Our children, when they were first born, they're great. When they turn about 5 or 6, it's like, okay, let's move on to the next one. Okay, you know. Because we're neglecting them. How does this relate to our community? Well, how are we going to work or make a difference for Christ if we're not drawing closer and he's not working in us?
Come on.
See? Earlier, a month and a half ago, I preached on Jabez and the prayer of Jabez. And one of the things he prayed, by the God, when God singled him out for prayer, there's probably something there we should look at. You know, that God, that your hand would be with me. I hope that that's the desire of our heart. God cannot work through us individually or as a church if he's not working in us. So I hope he's working in you. The third thing we need, if we're going to see God really work, we need prayer. You need prayer. Say, why do you talk about prayer a lot recently? Because it just happens to be in the messages, and it just happens to be a big deal.
Yeah.
You talk about scripture too much. I don't know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to preach the Bible. I don't have to help you. Okay? What do you want me to do? Open the book of Confucius? Verse 47. And he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he is at the point of death. I mean, he went with Jesus for a reason. I got to ask him for something. I have a need, and I got to let him know about it. And so he asked him. By the way, that's what prayer is. Prayer is asking. The magnitude of the request was incredible. Get his son healed. God won't do anything great and mighty. I would rather pray for God that God would do something great and mighty, and maybe we don't get way up there, but we get close. But other than just trying to work on our own, because that never works. Can God work in our midst? I don't know. Jeremiah said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. I love Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, he doesn't just say exceedingly above all we ask or think, abundantly above all that we ask or think, or above all. I mean, those are three really big words put together. You think one would have done the job. It's like, this is really better, best, generous. It's incredible, but that's what he does in response. How should we pray? I think there's two ways we should pray in relation to God making a difference. First, pray that God works in your life.
Yeah.
In our life. Okay? Pray. Prayer is asking, but why don't you ask God to do something in your life? Yeah. By the way, let me give you two thoughts that might help you. And I do this. And I haven't always done it. But like, after you read your Bible and then you go to prayer, you ought to pray what you read in the scripture. Not some mystical. But like, if I read, God is my refuge, a very present help, I'm going to think about that in prayer. Lord, help me to see you as my present help. By the way, you should also pray the message. You say, you think your messages are great? No. Thanks for putting up with it. Okay? My wife has to listen to the same one four times on Sunday morning. And then I get this long list of where, no, I'm kidding. She says, man, if you would have just preached the fifth time, you might have got it right. You're right there. But no, we talked about John 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. We want to answer, why don't we pray that God sanctifies us? Why don't we pray that God helps us not to reject the world and then reach the world? Well, we got to pray. And then we need to pray for others' lives, that God would work in their lives. See? You know, the Bible tells us, you know, people are like, you know, persecution, church, Christians are supposed to be persecuted. And that is true. But you know, there's a balance to everything in the Bible. You know what the balance is? He tells us to pray for our leaders that we may lead a peaceable life. Yeah. Now, it may not be possible, but he says pray for it. And apparently, if he asked us to pray for it, that's something he wouldn't mind happening. Now, I understand as the world gets darker, it may not happen. But we're there to pray for it. We're supposed to pray for our leaders. I pray for President Trump. What are you, a MAGNA person? What's wrong with America being great again? I prayed for President Obama, and I know he watches. Just kidding. I pray for our governor. I pray for our county. I pray for our mayor. Yeah. Now, I'm supposed to. By the way, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't a good guy until after he got saved. But you know what? God kind of worked the situation out there, and he almost did things that were outside of what he would normally do. Maybe we should pray. I pray for your enemies. Is there someone that has something against you? We can get bitter and upset about it, and that's the fun thing to do sometimes. I'll show them. But you know what you ought to do? The Bible says, and this is rough. This is the kind of stuff in the Bible. It's like, really? Can we just bypass that? Pray for your enemies. Yeah. And by the way, don't. Lord, I pray for my enemies. Kill them. And sometimes when I pray for our country, I pray for our leaders, and I pray, Lord, I just wish they'd all just get it together. But I'm like, some of these people, Lord, maybe this is wrong, Brother Rawl. It's like, they're for killing babies. You need to judge them. I don't know. If they're not going to turn. Pray for those who are hurting. Pray for those with health needs. Pray for everything. So we got to pray. The next thing is we need to have the right motive. Motive. Verse 48. Then Jesus said unto him, and I mentioned this as I went through the story, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. See, Jesus was lamenting the fact that really a lot of people want visual proof before they'll believe.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see something fantastic or else I won't believe. Or if you're the Christ, do this. Now, Jesus did enough signs if they would have had their eyes open and listened to what was going on. But really, Jesus is kind of testing his faith there. What is your motive here? Well, the guy's motive wasn't that he wanted to see a miracle for Jesus to prove who he was. He had a son. I need him helped. That's a good motive. Our motive is that Christ be lifted up in our church and throughout our community by our church. Listen, our church, we're not a big shot. I think you already know that. We're not, you know, okay? But we just want God to do something. It doesn't matter who gets a credit. It doesn't matter what happens. Just do something in our community. I've been very fortunate, except for one year of my life, to be parts of churches that have always been doing something. Amen. I'm very fortunate. Never been in a dead church except for we started church for a year and that didn't work. Okay. Other than that, there's always been people getting saved. And by the way, let's make sure that we understand what happens here usually on Sundays when we're back in normal routine is not normal. The average church, if they have a visitor, it's like, wow, we got to treat them like gold. We should treat them like gold, but we have many every week. We have people getting saved, people being baptized. We have stuff happening here. And I hope our motive isn't that, when our motive isn't, you know, write us up in some newspaper or whatever. We care less about that. Right. You know what I care about? Are people being helped? I want to look around and see, there's a new person. There's a person that got saved. There's a kid that came on the bus. They got saved. That person got baptized. This person is going through discipleship. That one's in the Bible. Hey, I want to just see things happening. I want to see people being helped. That's our motive. Because that honors God and it glorifies God. And it doesn't matter who does it as long as the work gets done. Motive. If we're going to see God work, we have to understand the need. We already told you, verse 49, Jesus said, look, some people just want to see signs. And here's the old man's response. Sir, come down ere my child die. Because we're not having a philosophical, spiritual debate here. My son's dying. Come. Need. Our problem is we don't understand that there is a need. Amen. Half of these people out protesting and looting and doing all the nonsense, they don't even know what's going on. Right. They don't understand what the real need is. These idiots in the NFL think that if they think there's a real problem, how is kneeling during the national anthem going to help? That doesn't help anybody in their community. Yeah. Right. If they say they care about their communities, why don't they get back in there and try to make a difference? Because they don't really care. Listen, there's a real need here. People need hope. So, there's racism and all this stuff. Okay, don't listen to anybody that says you can't do something. Yeah. You can. And if you have Christ in you, he could do something fantastic in your life. Yeah. Do we care? And I get it. We go in some of these areas, we'll bring some of the rough ones in, and they're like, they're irritating. They don't listen. But we'll give them a chance. Amen. Listen, the first time I went to Sunday school, I was, I think, 11 years old. First time I ever went into church. I was a brat. Yep. Now the teacher, he'd be in jail today. He set us around a table, and as he was teaching the Sunday school, we were all being smart mouths. And he ignored us. He just told the lesson, and he'd walk around to each kid and put his hand on your shoulder, and you know a little nerve thing right there? By the time he got around to the other side of the table, we were talking again. He should have tied us up. I was the kind of kid like, don't come back. And that, I didn't want to come back. But where are they going to get help? Do we see, it's like Jeremiah said. Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? After Jerusalem was wasted, the Babylonians tore it apart, take everybody away, and Jeremiah is walking through the ruins of the city. All that are left are the poor and the people that are hurt, and they're struggling just to get by. And Jeremiah saw it and says, am I the only one that sees this? Can't you see the need? Can't you see people that need help? But we pass them all the time. We have to care. A miracle is always in response to a need. Okay, look, he didn't heal a runny nose. The kid was dying. When people have a real need, we need God to do something in their life. I'm very concerned, as I mentioned. Another thing that bothers me about this corona crackdown, and that's what it is, by the way.
Right.
When it's done, I think there's going to be a lot of damaged people. Depression is rampant, I think.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't, after all that's went on the past 3 weeks, it sure is on the uprise. People are discouraged.
Yep.
People are confused about what's going on. Some people have lost their jobs. I feel sorry for these businesses. And they've spent 15, 20 years building a business only to have the government shut them down for so long, they'll never reopen.
Yeah.
These are people that are affected.
Right.
I fear some people may backslide because they've been away from God's house, they've been away from the Word, they've been away from Christian encouragement. I believe that there's relationships that are very much hindered. In fact, I already know it. People sitting at home, they're not in a regular routine, they're not at church, they're not getting the encouragement of other people, a Sunday school teacher, fellowship, activities, all those different things, and relationships can be strained. And so there's need. Next, we need faith. Verse 50, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. That's not a long conversation. I mean, it's kind of like that. If there was like fast food miracles, this was it. My son's sick. Yeah, you're just here to see a miracle. Don't know about that, but you got to come. My son's dying. Go your way. He's healed. All right, see ya. But the faith that man had, the faith he had, he's like, he's healed. I'm out of here. In fact, I'm going to stay the night. That's a long trip. I don't want to get home at 3 a.m. I'll just go sleep somewhere, and then I'll go the next day, and he'll be good. Could it be that we really don't believe that God can do something in people's lives? Huh? The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Do we really believe that? Because if we believe it, we'll go out there and try to get him in Christ. Do we really believe if we can get someone in Scripture and they'll meditate on Scripture day and night and they'll make it a part of their life, and as James said, they'll obey it, that it'll do something in their life and make them prosperous and successful in a spiritual and right way? Do we really believe that? If we had faith, then we would get that out to people. See, we have to believe that God can do something. Do we really believe that Jesus can save people from hell? Well, then let's get out there and let's tell them.
Amen.
Do we really believe that Jesus can change a life in sin?
Yes.
No, they're just too far gone. Look down through history. By the way, if anybody was too far gone, it was the Apostle Paul. I'm sorry, it was Saul. Okay, this guy, if he came to a revival meeting, it was to kill people. But he got saved. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. If we really believe that living for Christ is the best thing anybody can do, then won't we give ourselves to help people to do that? We'll go past the soul winning to get them into church, into their Bibles, so that their life can be changed. Maybe the reason we don't is because we really don't believe that the Christian life is the best, because we're not living it right. Let's think about that. And then lastly, the last step is obedience. He just went his way. Jesus said, go. Your son's healed. And he said, all right, I'm out of here. He didn't say, no, wait a minute. Okay, well, can I at least get a receipt for that? Okay, is there any proof here? Okay, this is really hard to believe. You just said, go. I just met you. He's like, no. You said it. I'm done. I agree with you. I'm obeying you. I'm going my way. By the way, we cannot help anybody in our life unless we are being helped in our life. We cannot spur anybody to a life of obedience if they don't see obedience in our life. If they don't see we're trying to go the right direction, how can we lead them the right direction? If they don't see that Jesus really does work in my life, how can we convince them that he can work in their life? If we really don't believe that we need to be in the Scripture and we need to be learning God's word and studying it and thinking about it, how can we get them convinced that they need to change their life and follow what God says in his word? It's never going to happen. We need to be obedient. So I leave you with the question that I started you with. Do you really want God to work? And let's just start slowly in our community, because this is where we're going to start soul winning right away, right here where we're at. Do we really want him to work in our community? Do we really want God to work in our church?
Yes.
Do we really want God to work in the Christians in our church? And do you really want God to work in your life?
Amen.
Then maybe we need to put some of these things into practice. Is that your desire? Are you in his presence? Are you praying? What's your motive? Do you understand people have need? Do you have faith? And are you being obedient? I hope soon we'll have that building and let's just go to town. Let's just give ourselves unreservedly to making a difference in someone's life.
Amen.
We say, you know, each one reach one. Why don't we do that? Who's God going to allow you to help? He won't if you really don't want to see him work. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you first and foremost that you are a miraculous worker. You can do great things. And Father, I pray that you would help all of us to desire in our hearts and in our lives to do whatever it takes to see you work. Help us, Lord, as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.